I get buckets.
Welcome to Blue Wire Buckets, bringing you the best perspectives and analysis from across the Blue Wire Network. I'm Justin Rowan from the Chase Down Podcast, and with me today is Mason Ginsburg from In The Know. Mason, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good. First legitimately good weather day of the of 2019 in Chicago, so it's been a solid Sunday. How about you?
It's been nice here. We're both in that central time zone. We're recording this right now as it looks like Portland is about to take a 3-1 lead over the Oklahoma City Thunder, effectively ending their season. Because, I mean, what type of team would blow a 3-1 lead, right, Mason?
Yeah, there have been no jokes about that recently, I don't think. So it's good you finally launched one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a compelling series. And to some extent, I kind of feel like we've been a little shortchanged. It's clear that Paul George is just not healthy. For those listening right now, you might be able to tell that I'm a little bit stuffed up. I got allergies. So if I sound as bad as a Russell Westbrook shot looks, you'll have to forgive me a little bit there. I feel like this had the potential to be a much better matchup. Not only if OKC was healthier on their end, but if Portland had Nurkic as well, I really feel like this could have been a really entertaining series. And then whoever would come out of this series, you'd have a more compelling round next round, because I just feel this entire half of the bracket in the Western Conference just kind of feels a little bit irrelevant, because these teams are just so flawed compared to Golden State and Houston that are going to be pairing off in the second round.
Yeah. And I mean, especially obviously as a New Orleans guy, I was looking at Portland with a pretty keen eye, because, you know, it's just kind of a similar situation as last year. They're a 3 seed. They're going to a matchup where, I mean, last year they were pretty heavily favored. I think most people picked Portland, but I mean, there were some questions about how they would match up against New Orleans. And I think that kind of carried over to this year as well. I mean, you saw what kind of Jrue Holiday did in the playoffs last year against Dame and CJ. And you look at Paul George as a guy who can kind of replicate a lot of that stuff on defense. And obviously you have Russell Westbrook and Steven Adams. So I really did think this was going to be more of a hard-fought series. But as you said, there are a lot of other factors that made this more of a one-sided series than I think a lot of us expected.
Right. I think the only real takeaway from this series is, outside of Steph and Harden, I think Dame is kind of establishing himself as that third guard, at least in the Western Conference. I don't necessarily want to get into the larger league debate, but he's really, really establishing himself and having a great playoffs. Even tonight, where he was struggling a little bit offensively, his shot wasn't really going down. He stays with it. He provides leadership on the floor and has kind of busted out of that slump. So I just think, especially as Russ's athleticism continues to kind of fade away, and as his game ages, I just don't think that that's a game that's going to age well. And whereas Dame is someone that just has such a great understanding of what he's doing on the court, what he has to do to get himself and others going. And even though he's had good playoff appearances before, I really feel like this is a true coming out party for him.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. And I you speak about Westbrook's athleticism, and it's such a central part of his game. And it's one where you say, like, I mean, it's, if that's the main way you kind of gain an edge when you're going through your prime years, you're going to be dominant. You're one of the best in the league, but then suddenly there's going to be a drop off. The question is kind of when. I mean, you know, as well as anyone about LeBron and how kind of, I mean, there's many other facets of his game, obviously, but he's been able to sustain that peak athleticism for so long. And with Russ, I mean, he's not as big of a player, and when the drop off comes, it's going to come hard. Whereas a guy like Dame, whether you want to talk about the X factors or the fact that he's one of the best shooters in the league, he's got other components to his game where he's going to maybe stretch out his prime for longer than a guy like Russ will.
No, absolutely. And you mentioned LeBron there. It's funny because a lot of people are pointing at the ratings being down. I think I saw that they're down about 30% for the first round this year. And obviously a lot of people are drawing the conclusion that that's tied to LeBron. To me, I have mixed emotions about it, because I look at the actual games in the first round And a lot of them have been really compelling. They've gone down to the wire. Philly just scraped by Brooklyn to take a 3-1 lead in their series. Denver San Antonio has been closer than even a lot of the final scores have indicated. A lot of those games have been competitive throughout. Utah had a much better performance in game three against Houston. Rudy Gobert really showed out defensively for the first time in the series, but unfortunately it wasn't enough. But even though the games themselves have been compelling, the overall result, it's just kind of blah. I feel like we're already just waiting for the second round. As I said, I don't think anyone takes the winner of Denver San Antonio seriously. We already know it's going to be Milwaukee, Boston, or any other conference. It's going to be Toronto and Philly. And then the real showdown is Houston Golden State. I just feel like we're all kind of looking ahead. And have you found this first round to be entertaining, or has it been a little disappointing for you?
And I mean, your points are all great in the sense that I think the games individually have been pretty good. But I mean, even before the playoffs started, you look at all these matchups, and it's one that there are a few of them, like you mentioned specifically Denver, San Antonio. I think a lot of people were really excited about that series who are kind of, you know, diehard basketball fans. But if you look at kind of the more casual fan, are there any matchups that are really super enticing to people? And I think that you're going to struggle, even like you said, with or without LeBron James in the playoffs. Is that a factor? Sure. But I don't really think it's as big of a factor as people might make it out to be. I think it's just the fact that you don't have any first round matchups that are super enticing from a team A versus team B perspective. And you know what? I don't really know how different that is from prior seasons, you know? And I think once we get past this first round, you're going to start to see interest tick up a little bit.
Hey guys, Greg Moraz, the producer here. The thing that I find really interesting, you guys talking about the LeBron factor, is that it was almost a sure bet that you would find the Cavs in the conference finals come May. And at this point, there's
Why are you doing this to Justin, man?
A mystery. Well, it's not an effort to you know, make Justin feel sad, but there's so much of an unproven at this point in regards to the top four in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. Granted, you've seen a really productive season from Milwaukee. There are huge expectations from Boston, Philly. I just don't know where to place them. I think the East is going to be a bloodbath for the second round, mm-hmm. because I think anybody can win it. And right now, the way that Boston is playing, I do not count them out as the favorite to emerge from the East.
I think that's an interesting point, and I think what you are describing is something that NBA Twitter and diehard basketball fans, I think we can all appreciate it, because there is some uncertainty there. But for the more casual fan, I can kind of see how there's just not the same compelling storylines, because especially in the Eastern Conference, okay, you had LeBron and you're kind of looking to see, can he keep that final streak going? Nobody believes in Toronto, even though it's a different roster. They're going to have to prove it before anyone actually buys in. Milwaukee, great team, but I see tons of people doubting them, and it's just not a sexy market. Boston has had so much infighting. It's turned off their own fans. I mean, Bill Simmons is ready to drive Kyrie to the airport. And Philly has hated each other for a lot of the year, and there's been turmoil there. So I just think there isn't the storylines there that is attracting the casual fans. But ultimately, I think the next round is going to be really, really compelling in the Eastern Conference. Like, I can see a lot of those series, or both of those series, I should say, going seven games.
Totally agree. And, you know, I'm usually the first guy to say, and so one of the things I've heard recently is that, you know, Milwaukee better watch out for Boston, because they've had a cakewalk through the first round, whereas Boston's really had to, you know, it's a sweep, but they've had to fight a lot of those games, and maybe Milwaukee's not going to really see them coming. And usually I kind of don't buy that stuff, but Milwaukee's a young team. They could, you know, they've done such a good job this year, best record in the East, and they could have a little bit of arrogance going in. So I could definitely see that mattering, at least for game one. I would not be surprised to see Boston come in and upset them in the first game of the series in Milwaukee. But I mean, I do think Milwaukee is the best team in the East, and they're who I would pick go to the finals. But like you said, I would not be surprised for any of these top four teams to be the last team standing in the Eastern Conference.
Do you guys see the parallel between Milwaukee, Boston this year and Toronto, Cleveland last year?
Not necessarily. I still feel so. even as a Cavs fan, I looked really dumb because I picked Toronto in that series. After game one, I changed my prediction because it was so clear that Toronto was just mentally broken. But I just don't think either of those teams has really proved it enough. Like, Boston just scraped by in seven games last year, and Milwaukee didn't even have a real coach. I do think Boston has a better chance to beat Milwaukee in the second round than they would if it was the conference finals, because I think Mason made a great point there that Boston's been playing playoff basketball for longer and they've been fighting for seeding, whereas Milwaukee's had that clinch for a while. They have a cakewalk here in the first round, especially with Blake Griffin missing the first two games. I do think there's a chance that it just throws them off and that Boston has a chance to really capitalize there.
The point's good, and I would think that – I didn't think about it until you started talking, but the fact that the Boston series, assuming Milwaukee can come away from that one and get the win, it's not just like a tune-up. I feel like if they win that one, I wouldn't be surprised if that series against Boston goes more games than the next series. And that's not a slight to Toronto or Philly. I just think that Milwaukee is that good, and as long as they kind of have their head on straight and – you know, they've got all their guys playing like it matters. And, you know, that's one of the things with younger teams. You have to realize that this is a shot you may, who knows, you might not get it again. And as long as you go into it with that mentality, I think that they are the best team and can get to the finals.
Absolutely. And especially, like, we know that Kyrie can go out there and win a game in the playoffs. Like, he's really, I've been impressed with him taking the leap. Last 2 years in Boston have been his highest efficiency. And this year, he really seems like he's also added more as a playmaker. He's really getting other guys involved. Those assist numbers are high. Have you seen anything from Kyrie as he's gone into his first playoffs without LeBron that's kind of impressed you, Mason?
I mean, I've been very impressed with Kyrie throughout the process. The guy
you're sane. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big Kyrie fan, and I think that he's really, I mean, I know that some of his biggest fans have also been some of his biggest critics throughout the year in Boston, but I think that he's really, after kind of a rough start to the year from a, whether you want to call it a leadership perspective, or yeah, I think you mentioned this, some of the infighting that kind of went on. I think that they've really kind of come out of that pretty strongly, and it seems like they're picking up steam at the right time. And I like you said, I while I like Milwaukee a lot, I think that Boston is going to give them a hell of a series.
What would you have thought of that series if Oladipo played?
Huh. I mean, so. That, I mean, all the games are not all of them, but most of them have been pretty tight. And
they were really tight. That's why I ask.
Yeah, it's such a rough position, and I feel like Indiana fans are all asking the exact same thing. Because Tyreke Evans is obviously no Victor Oladipo on either end of the floor, but he had a pretty good series himself, and I think that I'm not going to say that Indiana would have won the series with Oladipo, but we would still be playing basketball right now at the very least. And I think that's probably not a hot take.
No, absolutely. I think that actually had the potential to be a really compelling series, but you know, injuries happen. Life can get derailed at times and it can be stressful, but just because life can be stressful doesn't mean getting life insurance should be. That's why there's Ethos. Ethos is a modern kind of life insurance that's super fast, incredibly affordable, and very uncomplicated. At GetEthos.com, there are no medical exams for policies covering under $1 million, no hours of paperwork or meetings with pushy representatives. It only takes 10 minutes to apply online, and you can rest assured knowing you've taken steps to protect your family, and in most cases with Ethos, you can have the peace of mind for less than a cup of coffee a day with no hidden fees. Having life insurance can free you from stress. Getting life insurance shouldn't cause it. Discover how uncomplicated life insurance can be at Ethos. Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to getethos.com. That's ETHOS, getethos.com. Getethos.com. How about that for a segue, Mason?
I was typing up something to you off to the side and tell you how nice that was. Well done.
I was fumbling the snap a little bit there, but then I think I pulled it together. So not too bad overall. So with I guess we have Toronto that took care of Orlando. I'm actually kind of surprised this game was kind of the one exception where Orlando wasn't really able to hang around, but I've been really impressed with the Magic. They're not the most efficient offense. In fact, they've been a really poor offense throughout the year, but they just generate a lot of second chance opportunities, and they've just found a way to really battle. And I've been surprised by how competitive they've been overall.
Yeah, very much agree. And I think one of the things, I mean, they're defensive length is something that's going to cause problems for a lot of teams. And as a New Orleans guy, I love the DJ Augustin renaissance here. He's been playing pretty well. And I don't think anyone really saw his kind of series coming. Obviously game one, he was the star, but they've got a lot of fun and enticing young talent. Even with not getting much from their first round pick this year, I think they've gone a long way to impress some folks. And I think it shows a lot of promise for the future for them.
Yeah, I think so too. I laugh one with DJ Augustin. I can't believe he's playing as well as he has. It feels like he's been in the league forever. It's also, I just feel there's so many pieces there. Like Jonathan Isaac should not be essentially playing small forward. Like he should be your small ball five. It feels like a team that's starting a lot of guys out of position. Yep. I think it actually really says a lot about their coaching staff that they've been able to put together a cohesive team with guys that are a little bit of an awkward fit.
Yeah. And I mean, and you look at some of the pieces they've got next year, you've got the trade with Philly for Fultz, who knows what that can be. And then obviously Bamba as well, there's just a lot of pieces here and they don't really fit together. But I mean, all you need in this league eventually to have a good team is assets. You've got to have assets and you've got to be able to turn them into the right pieces that make sense. And so, the best executives in the league can make that happen. And we'll see if Toronto can take the correct next steps this summer, because it's going to be a big one for them.
I want to finish off this episode by going over some predictions here. So the only series that's really in question at this point, unless something ridiculous happens, is Denver San Antonio. Denver had a much, much better game in game four. Jamal Murray bounced back from a poor performance. It really feels like he's the X factor, because you know for the most part what you're getting with Jokic, who's a little bit more assertive, which I think he's finally starting to understand that he needs to be that. But Jamal Murray is the guy, kind of like young Kyrie, where he won't necessarily raise your floor, but he's a ceiling raiser in individual playoff games. With that being said, how do you see the rest of the series kind of unfolding there?
It's been impressive to me. And I got to say, I'm a firm believer in Pop in any part of the season, regular season, playoffs, even preseason. I don't care. The dude, he just makes magic happen. That being said, I would have been very surprised at the start of the series to see San Antonio come out on top. I just thought Denver top to bottom is such a strong roster. And at this point, I think it's really anyone's series. I certainly lean towards Denver. I have more confidence in their players. I think they kind of taken a couple of punches at this point, and I think they'll get past this series. I don't really know what to expect next round between Portland and whoever wins this series. I think it's anyone's guess. But I really would be surprised at this point in the three game series to see San Antonio come out on top. But I've seen more surprising things from the Spurs, that's for sure.
Yeah, nothing surprises me with San Antonio. And personally, I'm rooting for Denver. One, because they're a young team. It feels like they have a future, where San Antonio is basically trotting out shooting guard, small forward, and power forward versions of DeMar DeRozan. That's not the future of the league. It's amazing that they're able to do what they're doing, but it's not a lot of fun. The other reason is I just feel like the conversation about Denver getting eliminated from the playoffs is just going to be nauseating. Like going to be so many victory laps. And I think whenever Twitter doesn't get an easy victory lap, it's good, because I want to see people work for them, not just go the path of least resistance. So I would like to see Denver win it. I don't.
They're going to get that with Russell Westbrook anyway, and so we may as well not give him too many easy ones, right?
Right, exactly. Let's save it. Let's spread it out for the playoffs so that we're able to go with those low resistance jokes one each round. And I think Portland Denver would be a really, really fun series as well. So that's definitely what I'm rooting for. But I mean, it's the Spurs. I just can't. I've counted them out way too many times. And the fact that they've, I think I saw that this was their best offense that they've had in terms of offensive efficiency, which makes no sense. But Pop just seems to be able to move mountains.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think that it would be more fun for a Denver Portland series, and going a step further, I would really love to see Portland get to that next step too. I mean, I respect the hell out of what Dame's done and what that team has done coming back from taking a punch in the mouth last year, getting swept when they were the three seed. And if they can come back and win not just one, but two series and get to that Western Conference Finals, no matter who you play, if you're in the Western Conference and get to the Western Conference Finals, that's a hell of a statement. And so I would love to see Dame kind of bounce back and lead his team to that kind of point after what happened last year.
And to do it without Nurkic would be phenomenal. I mean, you just think about what Portland has had to go through without Nurkic and having to have guys like Myers Leonard, Enes Kanter, Zach Collins try and fill that role effectively by committee. I mean, I had a chance to watch Portland game two, and it was just like lights on fire. They just seem to have it clicking, even without a guy that was such a focal point to their success this year. So I think that they have a chance to get to the Western Conference Finals and possibly give the Warriors a run. Not saying it's going to happen, but right now they're playing the best outside of Golden State and Houston in the West.
Oh, I completely agree with them peaking at the right time. And as you said, Nurkic was just so important to everything they did. Like, he was legitimately their second best player this season, because McCollum hasn't exactly had a great year. He's certainly capable of being a great player, but he was so important to everything they did on both ends of the floor. So it's really, really been impressive. And I feel like Denver-Portland, that's a fairly even series. I could see that going either way. But with the other potential series, so Philly-Toronto, Milwaukee-Boston, Houston-Golden State, which do you feel is the most likely upset out of those three potential matchups?
I think it's got to be Philly-Toronto. I say that again, as I've said a couple of times in this podcast, I just like Milwaukee's team too much. And I even if Boston kind of surprises them and wins game one, I just think that team's too complete to lose that series. Could it happen? Sure. But I really think that, you know, Philly, if they come in full strength, Joel Embiid's health is obviously a factor here. But assuming Joel Embiid's healthy, I think that they have a pretty decent chance to take that series. I guess for Toronto, it comes down to what we've all known Toronto to be. Can they really get past that hurdle that really no one really believes them at this point? And I think the track record kind of backs that up, but they've got the talent. It's just a question of, can they finally get over that hurdle? What do you think?
I'm going to come with a hot take here. I think Philly over Toronto is the least likely upset. I think Houston over Golden State is more likely. I do not think Philly has the chemistry. It's actually funny to me that Philly does seem to play a little bit better when Embiid is out. I think Embiid is their best player, but I think that just speaks towards them not figuring out how to play with one another. Like their run down the season last year was all with Embiid out. They had their best run of the year. They played great in game three with Embiid out. And I just think the pieces are an awkward fit there. And Toronto is really peaking at the right time. They're starting to maximize Marc Gasol and use him more as a playmaker, which I think is important because their biggest issue had been teams taking away Lowry and DeRozan's ability to playmake in the past. And I just think that is the one I feel the most confident in, because I know that Boston's going to have a good game plan. They have a lot of talent there. I can see Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, Kyrie having a great series and upsetting there, even though Milwaukee is still my pick to make the finals. I just think my lock in the second round is Toronto over Philly.
I respect it. And your logic's the good. I think there's no way you can get me to take Toronto over Philly is more likely than Golden State over Houston. But I mean,
I might be a glutton for punishment. And I mean, That is absolutely, Greg, make sure you mark that time code there, because there is a great chance that you guys are going to get to drag me in 2 weeks. And to clarify for everyone again, just because I'm Canadian doesn't mean I'm a Raptors fan or a Toronto fan. I hate almost all Toronto sports. I'm kind of pulling for them a little bit just because of friends and family, but I'm not saying this as a Raptors fan. I'm just saying this as my analysis and my opinion. So if I'm going to be wrong, I'm going to be loud wrong. And that's a fun way to live life.
Respect it. I just,
better to be lucky than good at times, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I think as we get deeper into the playoffs, if we just, again, we're relying a lot on Joel Embiid's health here, which has historically not been the safest of bets, but it's as long as they keep giving their starters more and more minutes together as we get deeper into the playoffs. I mean, I don't think Philly's coming out of the East or anything, but I like that starting group, and I feel good about them. I'd still take Toronto in that series, but I would not be surprised at all on an upset.
Absolutely. I mean, at this point, I just kind of want to fast forward to the next round. Like, as much as there's a mystery with Denver San Antonio, I don't really like, I don't care that much about it. I'd rather just get to the conclusion. I'd rather skip ahead. I don't care about spoilers there. Let's get to the next round. Let's get to these great matchups, because I really do think that this has the potential to be one of the better playoff rounds just altogether that we've seen, at least for second rounds. I can't remember any time that's been this compelling.
Yeah, you're so right, too, because I'm legitimately more excited for this next round than I'm going to be about the conference finals. I say that now, and I feel like I'm going to say that again in a week or two.
Well, let's be honest. Houston Golden State is the conference finals in the West, and we still need to find out. Like, in the East, it's, I feel like all four teams have flaws and they're unproven, so I just can't say any one matchup is essentially the conference finals with any confidence.
For sure.
I think that's a good place to wrap it up, though. But before we continue to project even more and sound really stupid when everything we say gets proven wrong, I want to thank all our listeners. Make sure you support the podcast. Tell your friends and family about it. Word of mouth is the best way to grow it. The other best way to support us is by leaving a review on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Support us. If you have already subscribed, unsubscribe and resubscribe. Help cook those books. Leave a rating, leave a review, and tell your friends and family about it. So this has been another episode of Blue Wire Buckets. I'm Justin, and for my co-host Mason, we are signing off.